today, we're going to get into an area that is hugely important to me, and I hope that it is to you. And that's in the area of getting healthy. I don't remember a single time growing up that I ever heard a message about taking care of my body as a Christian responsibility. And yet our text here is 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. And I want you to listen to what John writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, I pray that all is well with you and that, listen, your body is as healthy as I know your soul is. So here's what God is saying. God is saying that he wants my physical health to be as strong as my spiritual health. Now, I'm going to have physical challenges. A lot of that has to do with genetics and the things that come to me. But what God is saying in the Word is, my desire for you is for you to be as healthy as you can be and for it to be a reflection of how your spirit is. And so how do you keep yourself healthy physically? How do I do that? Well, the way we do it is we follow the owner's manual. He who owns this body has a manual. And it's called the Bible. And what God is saying in the Word is that the Bible teaches us, it is the owner's manual that tells me the truth about how to treat my body as a follower of Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I just want us to think about, I want us to get down together, and I want us to think about our physical health. And so some of you are probably saying, you know, I maybe could have just slept this one out. Because I feel like right now, preacher, you're about to get up in my grill. You're about to get, you know, you're starting to meddle. And you're really getting close to home. And so, you know, that's part of the work of a pastor. We comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And that's just the assignment. And so maybe in this area, there's going to be a little affliction where you and I have gotten way too comfortable about how we are treating our bodies. And that actually we're blaming a lot of stuff on maybe the Lord or the devil when it's really coming back to us. Another passage here is Proverbs 3, verse 7 and 8. The writer says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, don't depend on your own wisdom. Instead, respect the Lord and refuse to do what's wrong. Then your body will be healthy and your bones will be strong. I want you to write something down in your life point outline. I didn't give it to you, but I want you to write it down. We grow strong by refusing what's wrong. And that's just an overarching truth for this whole message this morning. I grow strong when I refuse what's wrong. When I respect the Father and I respect what he teaches me in the Word with regards to my body. So let's go back. I want to read 3 John 1 and 2 one more time. I want us to hear it. John writes and he says, I pray that all is well with you and that your body is as healthy as I know your soul is. Let me give you an insight in your outline, if you will. My body is not going to last forever, but it is a stewardship, and it isn't to be abused. So when you look at yourself in the mirror today, God says, I want you to first of all realize, if you belong to me, I want you to realize that you are looking at a body. Yes, it's growing old. Yes, it is gradually passing away. He says, but that body is mine. I gave it to you. And it is a stewardship on your part that you handle it as a gift. And that you don't just say, well, this is my body. I'll do what I want to do when I want to do. And God is saying, whoa, 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 whoa. No, no, no. And he's saying, if you want pain and hurt as the years progress, then don't listen to me. But he said, I want to bless you as much as I can bless you. And much of that is going to depend on whether or not you and I are obedient to him. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That command from God is our theme verse for this whole series, and it so applies to our bodies. God says, do not conform to the ways of the world. And our world on a whole is going a certain direction. And God said, don't treat your body that way. Treat it the way I want to. So how does God want me to treat my body? Number one, in your outline, God says, I want you to remember your body is mine. My body, your body is God's. All right, that's the first thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 says this. Everything is permissible for me. And what Paul is doing is he is talking to us about the Christian life. And he's really going to give it in juxtaposition to how it used to be for the Jews before the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Jews were following after the Lord, when God was teaching them, one of the things the Lord did is he gave them a lot of restrictions. And the reason God did that was he wanted there to always be a separation between his people and the world. And so God gave them a lot of rules. Those rules did not make them more holy, but it helped them to stay separated from the world. And that's why God gave it to them. And so to keep their relationship with the Lord and to keep them separated from other people, there were things like touch not, taste not, handle not. God said, don't be near dead people. You weren't supposed to do that. You couldn't come in the presence of the Lord if you'd been around a dead person, if you'd touched your parent when they died. You couldn't be in the presence of the Lord. That was simply to teach them things that was going to separate them from a lost and a dying world. He told them sad things, which are sad to us, like you can't eat shrimp, you can't eat lobster, you can only eat fish that has scales. Why? Well, number one, it is healthier. But then on the other hand, too, it separated them from everybody else. And so, you can't eat any meat that's got blood in it. And many of us like our meat medium rare, right? I hope not rare. I hate to see a steak try to crawl off the plate. But I know there are some of you that enjoy it that way. I thought, well, why don't you just go out in the field and bite a cow on the rump or something? You know, if you're going to be doing that, not being crude, just an example. And so anyway, Paul says, everything is permissible for me. See, things have changed. I'm no longer under all those dietary laws. Why? Because Christ is in me. And now the change in me is to be in a relationship with him. That's my message to a lost and dying world. And God says, now I want you to go out into the world and your message is about a relationship with me. And he says, and remember, he says, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. And what he's simply saying is, I've got a lot of freedom. I'm no longer under, as a follower of Christ, I'm no longer under all those dietary laws. Touch not, taste not, handle not. I'm not under that. There's not a lot of laws in everything that is on me. But then he says, everything is permissible for me. So he's just saying it again. He simply says, as a follower of Christ, I've got a huge amount of freedom. I'm not bound by rules and regulations. But then he says this. He says, but I will not be mastered by anything. I have liberty, but I will not get myself into bondage. That's huge. So there are a lot of things in life that are not wrong, beloved. They're just not necessary. All the time, people will ask me, well, as a follower of Christ, I can do this, can't I? Wrong question. It's not a thing of, you know, as a follower of Christ, I can do this, can't I? And people are like, you know, how much liquor can I have? And can I do this or do that? You know what? That's the wrong question. The wrong question is not can I, but is it necessary? Is it not everything is good for me? And so he goes on. He says, food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy both. So living for my body is not the focal point of my existence. It is a stewardship. And then he goes on, he says, the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. But by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. God's going to physically raise our bodies. Every believer who has died for all time, we're all going to be raised if we die before Christ comes back. Then he says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Flee sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know, and here's the point, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Let me give you three insights what Paul has said. He said, number one, I am to manage my body. You are to manage your body. My body and your body is a gift from God to us. And we are to keep these bodies as his children. And I am to keep my body sexually clean. And I am to use it for his glory. And I should not expose my body to that which I know is potentially harmful, and especially to immorality. My body's not for that. But number two, he says, remember, your body belongs to the Lord. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Why? Because it's his. In other words, here's what God is saying. God is saying, you and I, as followers of Christ, we don't have the right to share our body with whomever we please. When I am single, for all of our singles, you don't have a right to share your body with whomever you want to. What God is simply saying is, what we do with our body matters, right? Do you know it matters if believers get drunk? Do you know it matters if you drink till you get a buzz? Do you know it matters if you drink until you get loose? It matters if you drink to where you can't drive legally. It matters that you have had or you have multiple sex partners. It matters if you do drugs on God's body. It matters if you smoke pot, cocaine, or if you smoke, here I'm meddling, tobacco. It matters if you dip. It matters if you chew. It matters if you overeat. That is a sin against the gift that God has given me and the body he's given you, and God takes it seriously. See, I never heard a message like this before. So I'm waiting out in unknown territory. Number three, God will resurrect these bodies. 1 Corinthians 6:14. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Now, here's what God is saying. God is saying he is going to reuse these bodies. In other words, this is model 1.0. And God said 2.0 is in the future. 2.0 is coming. But it'll come either at the coming of Christ or at the resurrection. And notice the phrase, by his power. Let me give you a couple of things here that's really important about how we live our life, about God's power. Notice your outline. Number one, or A, God's power changes life, not willpower. I just think this is absolutely huge. Willpower, I have tried so much to change my life by willpower. And willpower is exhausting. It's exhausting. And the thing is, willpower always fades. It always fails. It is almost amusing, if it wasn't so sad, how every gym explodes with people in January. Not to worry, February's coming. And you get this spike, and then shoo. You know why? Because you cannot change by willpower. Whatever weakness you struggle with physically, listen, I want to encourage you, you will have it till you die. And only God's power can truly put you on a new course. That's what the Bible is saying. And so number two, change is about God, not you and me. You see, my biggest mistake and your biggest mistake when you're trying to lose weight or you're trying to change your life for a better health, it is wrong that the goal is your appearance. Well, you know, I got a high school graduation coming up and I want to look fine. Well, let me tell you something. That is a poor motivation. That is selfishness. And the reality is, your body, my body, belongs to Jesus. And the biggest motivation of our life, rather than being appearance and pride, ought to be that we want him to be pleased with us. That we're taking care of what he has given us. That it will last as long as God wants me to be here. And number three, I can't change on my own. We were made for a relationship with God and our church family. You know, the Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. Amen. And so here's the truth in your outline. We need a life group to change. You need a life group to change. You knew I was going to come around to that probably. And so that's why we push all of our 12, 13, 1400 people here to be in a life group. Because why? Because the Bible says, I cannot make it on my own. I do not do life well alone. And some of us are saying, well, one of these days I will change, Pastor. Let me, as sweetly as I can, let me give you a reality check here. And the reality check here is this. If you're saying someday I am going to change, someday I'll get a grip on this and I'm going to do it. Here's the point I want you to understand. If you could do it on your own, you'd have already done it. But you haven't because you can't. You can't. That's why you haven't. It's not like, well, I know one of these days I'm going to. No, you won't. You haven't because you can't, and you won't change without help. And that's what I'm just trying to focus our attention for this year. We are better together. We're better together. So it brings you to number two. Physical health requires healthy food. Every healthy person you perceive as healthy, you look and say, mine, they look healthy. Let me tell you, one of the reasons is because they are eating healthy. They're not. Their life is not focused on a lot of junk stuff. And I want you to know, I was raised on junk. Junk, there's a reason junk sells. It tastes good. Right? I mean, if it didn't taste good, people wouldn't buy it. But that's the kicker. Whatever I put in my body is going to come out in my life. You're going to see it on my face. You're going to see it around my middle. You're going to see it how it affects my energy level. Let me go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to do verse 13. We did verse 12. Listen to verse 13. Now, this is what he said. This is from the Message version. You know the old saying, first you eat to live, and then you live to eat. Well, your body is only temporary. But that's no excuse for either stuffing your body with food or indulging it with sexual immorality. Why? Since the Lord honored you with a body, now honor him with your body. I had not seen that before. I want you to look at what he said there. Here's the truth in your outline. Gluttony and sexual immorality are identical twins in the eyes of the Lord. I had never seen that. He uses both of those, stuffing your body with food, indulging it with sexual immorality, those are in the same sentence. That is absolutely huge. You know, we sit in front of the TV and we're stuffing our mouth with potato chips and cookies and we're talking about those immoral people on television. Is that incredible? A recognized authority on food and health is Dr. Mark Hyman. I want you to listen to what I said. This is a quote. He said, man-made food is factory produced. It is a science project that is made by industrial corporations designed for one thing, to hook you and addict you. These man-made foods are hyper-addictive and they are hyper-processed foods, and they hijack your brain chemistry, your taste buds, and your metabolism. They are frankenfoods. Stay away from them. And then he gives this insight. He said, sugar and maybe you've heard this, sugar is 8 times more addictive than cocaine. How many of you have heard that? Very few. Now you know. And you've got 10-pound bag at your house. Well, that's all right. I do too. It's for Catherine. I am in so much trouble. Well, y'all were getting so serious, I just had to. Maybe you still love me, right? But here's the truth, and this is true. Sugar is 8 times as addictive as cocaine. They tested lab rats with eating sugar or cocaine. And what they found, lab rats will literally eat sugar until they die. They will choose sugar over food. And if they have a choice between cocaine and sugar, they will always, underline, go for sugar. Every time, they'll go for sugar. A healthy body requires eating healthy, whole, fresh food. There are a lot of health eating plans out there. Let me just mention two. One is the Daniel plan. There's a study book that lays out the theology and the science of the diet that is taken from the Old Testament book of Daniel. And then they also have a cookbook that can help you with that. Catherine and I, for 1 month, back toward the end of last year, we followed the Whole 30 diet. And for 30 days, we ate whole, fresh, real food. And here's the insight that we learned. Our eating revolved around food requiring the shortest distance from the point of origin to our fork. In other words, we didn't want anything that was processed. And it took a full 30 days. And I want you to know, my body, on the 30th day, it's like it did a 180. And I had energy, and I felt better than I have literally felt in years. But it took a full 30 days for my body to detox off of all the stuff that I had. We came off of 4 major things. We didn't eat any grains, which covers a lot, no dairy, no sugar, and no legumes. Those are huge. Those are the 4 major food groups that are causing headaches, digestive issues, joint pain, fatigue, and depression. And yet the average American, according to the latest statistics, every year each individual consumes 146 pounds of flour and 152 pounds of sugar, the average American. And here's a food insight. Fat is not a 4-letter word. That was revolutionary for me. It's all about avoiding fat. No, listen. Fat doesn't make you fat. It curbs appetite when you combine it with proteins, not carbs. You don't want to combine fat with bread, pasta, flour, sugar. Good fats are like olive oil, coconut oil, avocado oil, nuts and seeds, fresh butter. Throw out the margarine. Throw it away. Go for what God made, butter. It's better. Our brains are 60% fat. We are a bunch of fatheads. And the truth is, good fats help heal our brain. As long as you do not combine fat with sugar and simple carbs. That is a no-no. Okay? It calls for insulin. It increases your blood sugar. Body has to secrete insulin to get your blood sugar down. And that throws open all of your cells in your body. And fat just flows right into those cells. And you look down tomorrow morning and you see it around your waistline. And that's because of what you're eating. And my prayer for our church is that every life group in our fellowship will embrace the 2018 health challenge to eat healthy as a group. Why? Because health happens best in a group. And the truth in your outline, the smallest unit of health is a life group. It is a life group. In one of the tests that they did, they put several groups of rats in groups, in cages. They put some single rats in cages. And what they learned was those that were in groups lost half their belly fat simply by being together. So I thought of an axiom. This is in your outline. If you want to lose belly fat, join a life group. You got the best opportunity. If the life group takes the 2018 challenge, that I want you as a life group, I want you to eat together, but eat healthy. Promote the health of each other. so that everybody lasts as long as God wants us to be down here. And we do less and less visiting in the hospital. Get creative with your meals. Watch for the sugar, fat, flour combo. Let's change our church health and for our family in 2018. Let's go from hurting to go to healthy. Would you say amen to that? Amen. Do we want to be that? Well, that was weak. All right, so let me close with this. Healthy means healthy brains. And here's the truth. The biggest battle for your future lies between your ears. Because what God is saying is, the way that I think affects how I feel, and how I feel affects how I behave. So it all starts with here. Stinking thinking. Garbage in, garbage out, right? Okay, so that's how I'm thinking. Luke 11:34, Jesus said, your eyes are the lamp of your body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But when your vision is bad, your body is full of darkness. Now, he's not talking about physical eyesight. He's not talking about whether or not you need glasses or eye surgery or removing cataracts. He is talking about our thought process. And he says, where your thoughts are taking you every day matters. And if your thoughts are off, if they're toxic, that's how your life is going to be. And so that's the reason why we promote every year, we promote about getting into the Word of God. Why? Because there's no better way to change what's going on between our ears than for you to have a daily intake of the Word. That every day you are reading the owner's manual for our body. And God simply says, when you search for me, you shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. God, I want a better life. God says, good. I want you to listen to me, and I want you to realize your body is a stewardship, and I want you to come to me, and I want you to change your life, not for you, not so you look better in the mirror, but I want you to do it for me. I want you to do it as a stewardship to me. It's not about that you can just fit better in clothes. That is going to be a sidebar that's going to come from this. But that you do what you do because you belong to me. Your body is mine. And I want you to be here until the very last day that I want you here, until I call you home. And so here's the axiom. Daily Bible reading isn't optional for life change to occur. Proverbs 4:21, God says, don't ever forget my words. In other words, the Bible. Always keep them in mind. In other words, they're your focus. They are the key to life. The Bible is the key to life, ladies and gentlemen. It is the key to spiritual life, emotional, physical, relational. They are the key to life for those who find them. And they bring health to the whole body. Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. Let me go back just one more time. Dr. Daniel Amen, who is a double board certified by American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology, generated a term that he called dinosaur syndrome. There are 140 studies out there, ladies and gentlemen, that confirm as your weight and my weight goes up over what I should weigh for my height and my body build, the actual physical size and function of my brain goes down. In other words, that ought to scare the fat out of you. We can become a dinosaur, big body, small brain, if I live a consistent overweight life. 70% of America is overweight, which means we're experiencing the biggest brain drain in American history. You said, you're a fine one to talk. Look at you. I don't know how many of you said, are you okay? You're not sick, are you? And I'm like, seriously? No, I'm not sick. I've told you many times when I was in school, I was short. I said about 5'5" and a half when I started middle school. And I weighed 185 pounds. My mother bought husky jeans for me. It's another way of saying fat boy jeans. My mother was a great cook. She fried chicken in bacon grease. You have never tasted fried chicken until you fry it in bacon grease. We have fried chicken, mashed potatoes, rolls, gravy, and dessert. every day. Not fried chicken every day, but something like that. And I did my part. We were a family of three. We never threw out a piece of chicken because there was never any left at the end of the meal. Mother, God love her, got a pulley bone. That's all she could manage to get because Daddy and I ate the rest. I was 185 to 190 pounds in the fourth grade. I was a 38 in the waist. So I know what it is to be overweight. I know the struggle. I do. And the fact of the matter is, I realize that my life is a gift from the Father. And there's a lot of things my mama did simply because mama didn't know better. But now we know. Now we're held responsible. And so here's the truth in your outline. God wants us to enjoy food, but he doesn't want us to be controlled by it. God doesn't care about just getting you and me to heaven. He cares about us all of our life. You know, ladies and gentlemen, historically, if you look back at the work of the Holy Spirit in the growing countries across the world, government did not start hospitals or schools. Churches did. American missionaries went into countries across this globe, and those missionaries were the ones that started hospitals in countries and started schools. Why? Because God believes in education and health and healing. That's part of what you get from the Word. God wants us to preach the Word. He wants us to teach the truth, and he wants us to help people heal. That's how we pray. You said, Brother John, I didn't know we believe in healing. If we don't believe in healing, then why do I go to the hospital and pray for people? Of course we believe in healing, right? Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. That's why we pray. And so in your outline, the health of our bodies is no minor issue, beloved. The health of our bodies is a spiritual issue, and to abuse our body is sin. So here's the invitation this morning. I want to ask Stacy to come. I would like to ask you this morning to join me here. I want us to get before the Lord together today, and I'm going to ask you in just a moment as the music starts, I'm going to ask you, as you're impressed by the Holy Spirit, I want to ask you, I don't want you to do this for anybody else, I just want you to do it because it's you, that you just come forward and stand here with me, that today we're acknowledging that, Father, my body is yours, and I want to glorify you with my body. And that you would just simply say, Lord, I realize that change is going to come about because of you. And I want to ask you, some of you that are life group leaders, I want to ask you, would you come, and that you would seek to talk to your life group, that you would promote physical health, that you would promote that in your life group, that would be something that you promote and that you do. And one of the things I would like to do throughout 2018, I would like you as a life group, I would like for you to come and make contact with our tech team and let them come to where your life group meets. And I want y'all to tell your story that you are accepting the 2018 health challenge. And maybe tell a story of how change has really happened in your life group for 2018. So would you just stand together? And if that speaks to your heart as the music begins, I just want you to come and stand across the front here. And we're going to pray together for God to make this year a great year for our church and a healthy year for us. Would you just